Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, July 13th. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 14, the third paragraph down. Today's readers are Jody H., reading the 12 Steps, Brandy M., reading the 12 Traditions. Reading the text are Leslie M., Kathleen O., and Penny L.C. Our newcomer greeter today is Tamara C., making announcements. At the end of our meeting will be Shelley E., and Elaine is helping us with our recording. The share ID numbers for the last two meetings are yesterday, Tuesday, July 12th, the 10 a.m. meeting, 19,167 or 19167. And this morning, 7 a.m. vision meeting, East Coast, the share ID is 19,172 or 19172. Okay, the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experiences, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Jody H. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Jody.
Yes, my name is Jody H., and I'm a compulsive overeater. Here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood it. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood it, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you, Jody H. I will now ask Brandy M. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Brandy.
Good morning. It's Brandy M., recovered in Alberta, Canada. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the still suffering compulsive overeater. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facilities or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, overeaters named anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Nine, OA as such ought never, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service bodies directly responsible to those they serve. I mix those up. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, and television. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service, and I'll pass.
Questions for recovery described in the big book of Alcohol Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, that you keep your sharing. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify
Excuse me, Kathy.
There is
Kathy,
no
you're going in and out a little bit.
You can
I'm
hear
sure
me?
That you're going in and out a little bit. I'm just not sure if your headset is working well. Okay. I hear you great right now. Thank you.
Okay. I'll try this. I just changed the setting on my phone. Let's see. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the big book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the big book on page 14, paragraph 3, and I will ask Leslie M. to get us started. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Kathy K. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. For a moment, I was alarmed and called my friend the doctor to ask if I was still sane. He listened in wonder as I talked. Finally, he shook his head, saying, "Something has happened to you. I don't understand, but you'd better hang on to it. Anything is better than the way you were." The good doctor now sees many men who have had such experiences. He knows that they are real. In this reading, I hear a lot of stuff. Once again, Dr. Silkworth is involved in this, and Bill is mystified by what is happening to him. I did not have this white light experience. I had my spiritual awakening has been of the educational variety, so it's taken taken place over time. But I remember when I was first recovered, and I was at a, it was back in the day when we still had face-to-face meetings, and someone came up to me and said, "What happened to you? How did you do this?" And, you know, I the thing was that it was so different, and I've been in OA a long time. Up to that point, I'd been in OA for 28 years. And it was so different from any other experience I'd had that I knew I was recovered. But I couldn't explain, even Dr. Silkworth, although he sees it, he hears it, he knows, he can't explain it. But I find that I'm in the exact same position, that I really can't explain. I can tell you the physical things that I did. I can tell you the footwork that I did, and that I did it entirely abstinently. But it doesn't, one thing, you know, it's like one and one equals two. It doesn't feel like that. It doesn't feel like the work I did would have gotten this result, this amazing result that I have now, the neutrality around the food and having the obsession completely removed, because I didn't do those things. I am powerless to do those things. And I guess that was one of the biggest parts of the whole thing. You know, I had to be totally surrendered and know that I was out of ideas. I had to finally put down the food entirely and really get into those nooks and crannies and see, well, this thing might be part of that thing, and I have to get rid of it. And just being willing to do that in my surrender. And then finally doing the work that's outlined so clearly in this book and following these directions. And by doing that, I am a recovered compulsive overeater. But I don't take any credit for it. I know that this is all the work of my higher power, and that my higher power takes care of everything in my life, you know. And whenever I'm feeling, however I'm feeling, if it's afraid or angry or happy or whatever, I still know that my higher power is responsible in the end, that, you know, I haven't done this. But the doctor says here, anything is better than the way you were. And certainly the way I was, you know, prior 28 years in OA, still in the food and still crazy as all get out and thinking that I knew what was best. And that's the thing that I've learned the most, is that I don't know what's best, and for myself or for anyone else. And I just need to, you know, do my footwork every day. But I always used to hear this on the line, is I can do God's work, but I can't do God's job. And so I just have to step back and let him do his job and take care of the things that I need to take care of. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Leslie M., for getting us started today. Okay, I'd like to take names of people who would like to share. And please remember that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day. So if you shared yesterday or the day before, please don't share until we've heard from everyone else who would like to. Okay, who would like to share today?
Jody.
Nancy L.
Nancy L. I have Jody H., Nancy L. Who else?
Cynthia C.
Kathleen O. Cynthia.
Veronica B.
C. Veronica P. Was it Veronica? Veronica. Okay. Who
yes,
did I not get? Yeah. Okay. Who
Darcy
came
M.
on after? Darcy M. Great. Okay. Well, let's stop there for now. So I have Jody H., Nancy L., Kathleen O., Cynthia C., Veronica P., and Darcy M. Please go ahead, Jody H.
Yes, my name is Jody H., and I'm a compulsive overeater. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay, super. I have so much to say. I will definitely try to keep it under 3 minutes. So many good shares. This is such a good program. My higher power led me to this group not very long ago. And so let's start with the reading. The reading was awesome. What has changed in my life as a compulsive overeater? People have been amazed at the difference And of course, it started with the obvious weight difference. I know that's not what we're here for, but it happens as you put down the food. I was at 320. I am not at my goal weight yet, but I've lost over 100 pounds. And it's been amazing. People have been like, how did you do it? What diet did you use? I said, I didn't use a diet. They're like, what? And like, how you keep it off? And I was blessed with some money and was able to buy some clothes that fit me now that I've been wearing baggy clothes up till now because I just couldn't afford new ones. And I didn't want to because of the weight loss. But anyway, so I have new clothes and people are like, wow. And I had my doctor's visit on Monday, my annual physical. And even with my mask on, she's like, you're so thin. And I'm like, I really need to know what you think my goal weight should be because I want to make sure that I'm exactly what I should be for my weight and height and, you know, for my height and weight and age and all that. And so she said, don't worry about it. You look great in your numbers and your blood and everything and just the amazing transformation. And the thing that I really like, and this program, I love the traditions. I love the literature. I love the big book. I love the traditions even. And tradition 3 and tradition 5 really reach out to me. The purpose of this meeting is to reach out to those that still suffer. And that's what I want to do today. The thing that helped me to get where I am today, the glow that people talk about, the spiritual glow, is putting the food down one day at a time, 1 minute at a time if possible, and getting the support through vision and doing what you're getting a sponsor and following the steps and really doing the work. And as you're in the program for a length of time, really digging in there and you know, needing those things and having that spiritual experience as the result of the steps. And reaching out to others, doing the sponsoring, listening to the meetings, doing the special editions, you know, just such a wonderful program. And I'm so blessed to be here. And so many people have so much to share. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jody H. Nancy L., please share with us.
Good morning. Thank you so much, moderator. Good morning, everyone.
Hello? Oh, sorry. Wrong Nancy L. Yes, I'm the other Nancy L. I guess I'll get mine. Sorry.
Oh, so we have two Nancy L's. Okay. I didn't catch that. So go ahead with the first one who started talking, and then we'll hear from the other one. Go ahead, Nancy L.
Okay.
One.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Nancy L. in Arizona. And this reading. I don't know what you've got, but whatever it is, you better hang on to it. That is something that my mother-in-law said to me, something to that effect. What I don't know what it is, but keep doing what you're doing type of thing, you know? I had known my mother-in-law before she passed for a good 50 years. And she, like me, had a weight problem. I'm very grateful that she got to be around me the last, I think it was like 15 years of her life. I was in a thin and healthy body. And bless her heart, I love my mother-in-law, but she, I always wanted to pray, God, I pray she will ask me what I'm doing, what I've discovered, because she saw me in and out of diets all the time. But she didn't, and so I didn't push it. And she was a very special woman who I believe when she died was in a special sized casket. They make them like that nowadays, larger. But she was a very special woman to me. And I'm just grateful that I found what I found, and that is these 12 steps, because nothing else worked. Nothing else worked. I am so grateful. I would rather have 1 day in jail abstinent than to be free to roam around when I was in that food, because it was hell on earth. I'm very, very grateful for my abstinence today. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nancy L. And can we hear from the second Nancy L.?
Good morning, the other Nancy L. in California. Thank you for sharing. Sorry about the confusion. I just wanted to say two things real quick. So compulsive overeater. I wanted to say that when I first heard this, I'd been in my insanity for so long that sanity, actually, I had to question it too. I was scared and thought, this cannot be right. This doesn't sound right in my brain. And so I actually had to ask people, and they go, no, you're finally thinking straight. So when I talked to an abstinent person, I realized how off my brain had been. And so I just wanted to make that point. And then the other one is, like everybody else is mentioning, that when you go through this change, you just start glowing. And everybody was asking me, gosh, are you in love? And I go, actually, yeah, I found someone, and he's my higher power. And then I found someone else, and it's myself. So I did fall in love with two people who have been there the whole time buried in all of my garbage that I finally got rid of. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Nancy L., for your share. Kathleen O., please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. Thanks for your service this morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. So something has happened to you I don't understand, but you had better hang on to it. And, you know, something happened to me when I experienced the peace and serenity after working the steps, because human aid never gave me freedom from food, and neither did self-knowledge. And I was given this program freely by other people with my problem, and it worked. It used to be the more I ate, the more I wanted to eat. Now it's the more I work these steps, the more I recover, and the more I want to recover. You know, recovery depends on my relationship with the God of my understanding, a power that could do for me what I couldn't do for myself. And when I was in high school, there was this teen meeting that my best friend and I went to, and it turned out to be a Christian gathering, and we were asked to go alone someplace and ask God into our lives. And my friend came back sobbing and had really what that electric experience that Bill had in finding God. But me, I felt nothing. I sort of felt gypped. I mean, nothing happened. So when I needed to believe and find this power to solve my problem with food addiction, honestly, I had reservations. But so finding my higher power was not sudden, wasn't profound like Bill's, but it did happen. And I continue to experience the peace and serenity that I had never known prior to working to doing 12-step recovery. And I hang on to it every day. I don't understand it. I can't logically explain it. All I know is my recovery continues to depend on my relationship with God. And if you're new, don't let the word God scare you away, because there's probably as many definitions of God as there are people on this line. So the line, the good doctor now sees many men who have such experiences. He knows that they are real. And we hear many people in our meetings who have had such experiences. You know, they're neutral around the food, and they're no longer fighting it. And that's my experience, too. I came in wanting relief from feeling physically sick from constantly binging. And I got, I got all of that, but more. And I never thought I would also get the gift of feeling peace and serenity, even in challenging and troubled times. You know, my higher power always walks with me through these times. So if you're new and hopeless, you're in the right place. As we say, don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle happens. And with some willingness and surrender, miracles will happen. And I just wanted to say, you know, the big book states in the foreword that we have AA are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. It doesn't say we are recovered from alcoholism or we're recovered from compulsive overeating. So when you hear some of us identify as recovered compulsive overeaters, it means we are no longer experiencing a state of hopelessness mentally and physically. You know, and through the steps, we no longer want to eat our binge foods, and we have peace and serenity that Bill speaks of in this paragraph. Peace and serenity around the food and people, places, and things. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen. Oh, okay. Cynthia C., please share with us.
Thank you so much, moderator, for your service, and thank you for everybody who makes this meeting happen today and every day. I'm really, really, really grateful to be on here, and I'm just praying to just be honest in my share. You know, the spiritual experience, I think mine feels like it's different than how other people talk about it. where I really felt my higher power in my life is when I was at that, I don't know, at that bottom. And each time it's the time when I came into OA in like the very early 1990s, because I'm older. And then, and when I came in 2017, and after a 20-year relapse, and both times I was by myself. I had been deeply in the food, and I was really miserable. And I sat crying, you know, in the early 90s. I was like on a tree stump, and like the, you know, mountains in Virginia. And in 2017, I was in my bedroom, probably amidst rafters of food. And I just prayed, and I both times really felt like my higher power just, I felt like it was like a neon sign in my head, you know, go to Overeaters Anonymous. And both times I had reasons why I couldn't, and I realized there was no reason why not to. I need to share this, and I'm nervous about sharing this on the meeting, but I could use support. I have recently started a hormone medication that I really do need to be on. It makes a big difference in my life, but it is causing me tremendous food cravings like I haven't had since coming into program. And I, like tremendous food cravings, and my food has gotten a little messy. You know, according to my sponsor, I haven't lost my abstinence, but I just feel like my recovery is at stake. My abstinence is at stake. I'm having such strong cravings. So, you know, Cynthia C. from Newton, Massachusetts, if there are people out there who have had experience with this and they've found things that help them work through this, I am really doing my best to turn it over to my higher power and reconnect in with that spiritual experience and surrender everything. I am praying throughout my day to surrender every little thing to that higher power, you know, who directed me to this room, who directed me to OA. But I know I can't do that on my own, and I need to rebuild. I've been focusing also on another 12-step fellowship and doing some deep work there. And I think that's also probably triggering stuff around my food. I don't want to lose my abstinence, and I don't want to lose my recovery. As I work the steps in Al-Anon, I don't want to lose what I have here, because then I lose everything. So I would love to hear from people who may have had experience in starting to feel risky about their food in OA while working the steps in another program, and if you've had experience on dealing with their hormones. I'd love to hear from people so that I don't feel alone in this and out to dress.
That's time.
Thank you. I've just gained so much from all of you. With that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cynthia C. Veronica P., please share with us.
Hi, I'm Veronica B. Like Boy, in recovered compulsive eater in California. And thank you, Kathy, for your service. And good morning, everyone. So Bill has experienced this sense of being close to his creator, and he calls the doctor because he's just in awe, and he wants to know what he's saying, because he was a hopeless drunk, and now he's feeling the presence of God in his life. He's feeling like, oh, I don't have to drink today, you know. And that was what I experienced coming into OA. And for me, when I first came in 2009, I'm a bulimic. My abstinence was just not throwing up no matter what. That was my abstinence. And God removed that obsession from me. But the food took much longer for me, you know, the food neutrality took much longer for me to understand the allergy of the body, the obsession of the mind. That took way longer for me to accept, because I was still using like a food at dinner time to get me through the day in recovery. And then I discovered A Vision for You, this meeting, and I can't tell you how it's just like has opened up my heart, and my recovery has changed so much. I started working with a different sponsor last year, and she took me through the steps out of the Big Book, and I had my spiritual awakening, and I I accepted that I have an allergy to certain foods, and I put those foods down, and I weigh and measure. I never did that. Like, I never was willing to do any of that. But the result is I have so much freedom today. And I balked at first. Like, I kicked and screamed when my sponsor suggested to put down a certain food while we worked the steps. She's very clever. She's like, well, while we work the steps, do you think you cannot eat that? I was like, okay, but I kicked and screamed inside. But I wanted a new experience. I wanted a new experience. And today I have this freedom that I've never experienced before. Today I feel close to my higher power. And I'm just not fighting everyone and everything. And I try so hard every day to take the high road. Like, this is how my recovery looks. I have to take the high road, and I have to eat a lot of crow, you know, because I want things my way, and I think my way is the only way. But that's not right-sized living, you know. I get to just trust God and trust that the day is unfolding exactly the way it's intended to unfold, and I'm just so grateful for my recovery, for you guys, and thank you for letting me share. Everyone have a good day.
Thank you so much, Veronica B. Darcy M., please share with us.
Yeah, this is Darcy M., compulsive overeater. Mine kind of goes back a little bit to Monday. I had an awakening, I guess, when somebody read that the price had to be paid, and it was destruction of self-centeredness, and it was like a brick that hit open, got hit in the head with a brick, like a wide opening. Hit me with a brick, but that was what I had to do. And then, anyway, that got to me, and then, but what else was that? I became angry, and I had to do a 10th step. But the big thing was I had to do that 10th step before I could leave town to go to an appointment. And it was the fact that I had to go through, try and call like 6 or 7 people before I could even find someone that was home that could do my 10th step with them. And 3 months ago, like I was telling my sponsor, she said, you wouldn't have been that persistent 3 months ago. And it's true, I wouldn't have been. But I was so angry for some reason. And all my character defects came out, and it was like, and after I gave it away, and I did a little teary eyed, and it was just a great relief. And it's like, I wouldn't have done it 3 months ago, but I did it Monday, and it was like, and I was so persistent. And then it was like, that's something that I would not have done before. And I guess that's those Mondays and then today's reading just worked together, and I just thought it was just meant to be that I had to share that today. So I just had to bring those two together, and I guess I'll just pass with that. And I thank you for all your services. I'll now pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Darcy M. Okay, I'm going to repeat for those who joined us late that we are sharing on page 14 in the big book, the third paragraph down, which begins, "For a moment, I was alarmed." And we're sharing on 2 paragraphs. So I could take about 4 more names. Who else would like to share?
Sandy I.
Candy I.
Sue Ann Drop D.
Sue Ann.
Penny
D.
D. Okay. Penny C. Anyone else? One more?
Tamara C.
Jordan L. And Jordan L, if we have time. Thank you. Okay, Candy I, please share with us.
Hi, it's actually Sandy I with an S.
Oh, I'm Thank sorry.
You. That's okay. I'm so
Go
glad
ahead,
to be
Sandy.
Here.
Go ahead, Sandy.
Recovered compulsive overeater and glad to be here this morning. I just was really taken with a few things from this reading today. And the first thing was how beautiful that Bill had someone to call and share his experience with. And it just made me reflect how grateful I am to have other recovering women and men that, you know, can relate to what I'm going through and, you know, the experience, strength, and hope that is there for me to continue growing with and through. The other thing that struck me was when he said, am I still sane? And that word still, for me, like, I was so not sane in my disease. You know, insane meaning, you know, of sound mind. Nothing about my mind was sound when I was in the food. And you know, obviously, Bill will come to see that. And I came to see that. The thought that, you know, being awakened was insane just is so perplexing today. You know, it's just like this oxymoron. Like I really, like my solution I thought was insane. But today I can see how sane that really was and how my thinking was so insane. I just love that. And, you know, as I was listening to all these wonderful, wonderful shares this morning, I recognize that there's still some insane thinking in my recovery. And I recognize that I have been using some, if you will, green light or yellow light foods, whatever. They're not on my abstinence list, and perhaps maybe they need to be, and that's a conversation between me and another recovering person offline. But, yeah, you know, every day more is revealed to me and more sanity is, well, there's more room for sanity. And, you know, just these eyes that are opening to see and these ears that are beginning to hear on different levels, like the spiritual awakening for me is definitely a mind shift. And it's not one and done for me. It's definitely more growth from doing the steps, from listening to recovered people, from being in prayer and meditation. And I'm just so very grateful for that. With that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for being here for me today.
Thank you so much, Sandy. Sue Ann D., please share with us.
Hi. I'm Sue Ann D., a compulsive overeater and a food addict. And I have been in the rooms for about 17 years. I've gone through many sponsors. And what I've realized in hearing this, these two paragraphs, is that I will remain insane in my mind and in my life. Until I am willing to give up self-will. And I, not so long ago, I almost made it through the 12 steps. I had a wonderful sponsor and I crashed and burned, and then went into binge mode, and that's what I'm coming off right now. Yesterday was oblivion, and I realized that, once again, that this disease is much greater than I am or will ever be, and that with the support of coming to vision every day, which I did for the last year, up until a few weeks ago, I really can't do this on my own. And I hate myself when I am in the food. And so today I made a new action plan. I had an outreach call. I made my plan. And God willing, I will be able to follow it, because without it, my life is just going to be a shallow mess. So thank you all for being there whenever I've called, at the meetings, giving service. And I look forward to healing with you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Sue Ann D. And please do keep coming back. Penny C., please share with us.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning, everyone. This is Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. And what I really, really resonated on in these two paragraphs is that last sentence, "He knows that they are real." Talking about Dr. Silkworth and about spiritual experiences being the key to recovery from alcoholism, as he has seen many patients recover the way Bill W. did with that sudden spiritual awakening that he had. And I just love that Dr. Silkworth was not known as a particularly strong religious person. And so not only did the alcoholics he was treating after he witnessed the transformation in Bill W., but he himself, that was a spiritual experience for Dr. Silkworth. And yes, he did. He just as it said, that he knew they were real. He knew these experiences were real. So for him, for Dr. Silkworth, who was not an alcoholic, there was a transformation in his spiritual life as well by what happened to Bill and the others. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Penny. Let's see, Tamara C. and then Jordan L. If you could each take...
Hi, this is Tamara C. I'm grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm from Missouri. I also want to share on that last line, he knows that they are real, these experiences that are real. And I kind of like go back to a couple paragraphs before where Bill's experience was that God came to him. And my real experience is that a higher power is coming to me. For me, it's definitely more of a gradual thing. But this thing is happening to me. I don't understand it. It's just too miraculous and beyond me. But it's amazing. Like, I am experiencing freedom from the obsession of food. I'm also experiencing this new relationship with a higher power. By doing the spiritual action of this program, I'm getting this new understanding of who my higher power is, and learning, I'm coming to know that my higher power cares deeply about me and really wants good things for me, is trustworthy in that way. I used to think that, God knows best and wants me to make these choices, but these choices are going to be it's not what I really want, it's what God thinks is best for me, but does God really understand? And now I'm coming to see that my higher power is so personal to me. My higher power says, like, hey, I know you. I like you just the way you are, and I know what is going to be satisfying for you. I know what's scary. I know what's uncomfortable, and I know what sacrifices I want you to make, and you can trust me. You can trust me. I know what's really going to bring you joy and peace. And so the thing that's happening to me is that my higher power is with me every moment, comforting me through the scary and uncomfortable times and guiding me. I used to kind of be known for my indecision, and I hated that about myself, but I would just be so paralyzed, like I can't decide because what if I should make the wrong choice? And today I just get to go ask my higher power, hey, help me, you know, give me inspiration here. And then my higher power sometimes says, make the wrong choice. I got you. You're fine. You don't have to be so afraid of choices. Oh, thank you. I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Tamara C. And Jordan, now you have 2 minutes to bring us to the end. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Kathy, for moderating for us. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and grateful to be on a meeting and abstinent this morning. anything is better than the way you were. I swear to God, that line got me through the first probably like 2 or 3 years of abstinence. I had quite a bit of like emotional baggage to deal with. And when I got abstinent, it really hit me all at once. a whole bunch of things that I didn't completely understand at the time and have really taken some years to unpack and start to understand how this disease goes beyond just excess weight. It goes beyond just restrictive behaviors. It goes, like, it really gets to the core of who I am. And I'm very grateful for the 12 steps to help me have unpacked all of that. I had an experience early on in abstinence where I still get on this meeting every day, but I got on this meeting religiously when I first got abstinent because I really didn't understand what was going on here, and I really wanted to. I heard people talking about these spiritual experiences that had gotten them abstinent, you know? Like, I heard people talking about embodying this last line, he knows they are real. and I didn't necessarily believe them, but I was intrigued. I wanted to know more, and I got on every day and I listened.
That's time.
Okay, that's it. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Jordan L. Okay, thank you everyone for sharing today and listening today. What a wonderful meeting. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164. And follow that by the Serenity Prayer. Kathleen, would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answer will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as we trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.